Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Aleph, and we actually finished the entire sugi yesterday about the machlokas as to whether there was Mi'ikra Din to have a mezuzah in Lishkat Farhedrin, a number of different shitas, because we had different ways of understanding the machlokas, or whether it was Gzeira D'Rabbanan, in a general Gzeira D'Rabbanan, or Gzeira D'Rabbanan, because of the fact that people will confuse it with a jail, because it's a Dira Bal Korcha, and therefore we wanted to avoid that. But in any event, based on the machlokas that we had yesterday, today on the last line of Dav Yud Amud Beis, the Gemara asks, Man Tana, the Tana Rabbanan, so among all these shitas, so who would be the shita that would be the author of the Braita that says that in the Beis HaMikdash, the question, forget about the idea of the doors on the Lishakot, but the halach is that an entranceway that enters into a place that has a Beis Dira, which is called a Shar, which we're going to see, because we have Mezuzot Beitecho Visharecho, so there's two different dinim, a din of a bayit and of a shar. So when it comes to the sha'arim, it says that kol ha'sha'arim sha'yusham lo ayulahem mezuzah chutz mishar niknot. In the sha'arim of the Azora, there were no mezuzot, because as we'll see, there's no chiyuv of a mezuzah on stam ha'shar. It has to be a shar that opens into the mokum of a dira. So if that's the case, shar niknot, since lifnim mimenu lishkat parhedrin, so therefore, we put a mezuzah on Shar Niknar. So does that mean that's going according to only the Rabbanan? Because, I mean, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even Shar Niknar, the Lishkat Farhedrin itself is only a Gezerah, Shalo Yomru, right? So, I mean, it seems rather far-fetched that we would also put a mezuzah on Shar Niknar as an additional Gezerah, because we want the shahr itself to also be nearer that it's opening up into a mokum that is a real base dira. So then, I mean, we would say, normally, we don't take so many steps. So if we make a gezerah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's what we did for Shar Niknar, we're not going to make an additional gezerah for Lishkat Farhedrin, we're not going to make an additional gezerah to be Mechayev Shar Niknar as well. Says the Gemara, that's not true. Because sometimes it's incorrect to view it as two separate steps. It's not two separate steps. And the fact is that if everybody's coming into Shar Niknar and it does not have a mezuzah, it definitely reflects in their minds on the fact that there's no place to live in the Beis HaMikdash. And the immediate implication is that Lishkat Parhedrin, even if it would have its own mezuzah, is not for real. So once we make that takana, it's a single takana, and therefore it's kula chode gezerahi. It boils down to a single way of persuading people that Lishkas Farhedrin is not a mokum that should be considered like a jail. Tana Rabbana. What's bechlal the chiyuv for sha'arim? I mean, we sort of took it for granted. Until now, we said, okay, we were dealing with the Lishkas Farhedrin in terms of whether it's a base dira for the Kohen Gadol. Now we're assuming an additional thing, that you can make a mezuzah or mechuyif to make a mezuzah on an entranceway to a Beit Dira. Where do we get that from? So Tana Rabbana. The Torah says, Al mezuzot beitecha uvish arecha. So if that's the case, there seems to be a separate chiyuv on the sha'arim. What type of sha'arim are included in this? Says the Braisa, Echad sha'ari batim, V'yachad sha'ari chatzerot, V'yachad sha'ari medinot, V'yachad sha'ari ayarot. It doesn't matter whether even we're talking about an entranceway into a city, through the gates of the city, or we're talking about even an entranceway into an entire country that is surrounded by a wall. Does the Great Wall of China require a mezuzah, as Rashi brings? So all of these, since they're entryways into places where people live, there is a chiyuv of mitzvah l'makom. There's a chiyuv to have a mezuzah, and that is mishum shenema uchtavtam al mezuzot pitecha uvish arecha. There is an interesting machlokas whether this is a separate chiyuv, or so in other words, the need for having a bayit is because there are no batim, so these are not sha'arim that are used for living purposes, Or is it that the actual chiyuv is because the shahr is viewed as an extension of the bayit? So it's an entranceway into the house, but there's no separate chiyuv for the shahrim. These have nafkaminas in interesting cases, which is not our sugi here. So Omar le Abayil of Safra, I don't get it. When you walk into the big Jewish town of Mechuza, which was even more Jewish than Muncie, so Hani Abule de Mechuza, my time alo avdu hula rabbanim mezuzah. Why are there no mezuzahs on the door that the entranceway to Mechuza, which was surrounded by a wall? Omar Lay said to them, those gates are not gates to the city. Those are basically, they look to you to be a wall for the city, but they're not really. What they are is they are a chizuk for the Akra de Kuvi. The Akra de Kuvi was this big tower, which contained, like, the Tower of London. It contained a jail, as we'll see, and it was a government center. So what they did is they built this Akra de Kuvi on what looked like gates, but actually what they were the entranceway between the, they had made these very strong amudim to support the second story. So when you walked between them, it looked like they were gates, but in fact they were really a foundation for the Akra de Kuvi. And because of that, they don't need a mezuzah. Said Abaya, that doesn't make sense, because they should need a mezuzah even if they're not viewed as entranceways to Mechuza. They're definitely an entrance to the Akra de Kuvi, aren't they? You go through there, and then you climb up to the Akra de Kuvi, and the Akra de Kuvi should need a mezuzah, and it doesn't have a mezuzah. Even the Akra de Kuvi itself doesn't have a mezuzah. You want to call these foundations Numa Mela. But the Akra de Kuvi had a Beit Dira L'Shomer Beit HaAsurin. There was a Jewish Shomer on the prison, and there ought to be a mezuzah there too, because Atanya, a Beit HaKnesset, even though Beit HaKnesset is not a Mokum Dira, but if it has a Beit Dira to the Chazan HaKnesset, so the Chazan is what we call today the Shamash of the Beit HaKnesset, so it would be Chayev B'mezuzah. So the Akra de Kuvi should be no different. So that can't be the real reason, because if that were the reason, then the Akra de Kuvi itself would definitely have a mezuzah, but it doesn't. There must be a more fundamental reason which potters even the Akra de Kuvi. And that is, Elam Rabaye Mishum Sakana. The reason is because since there's a halacha that the Tanya Mezuzat Yachid Nivdeket Pamayim B'Shavua V'Shel Rabim Pamayim B'Yovel, there's a chiyav to go over the mezuzahs, and depending where it is, if it's an individual who owns a home with a mezuzah, you have to check it twice every 7 years. So that is because it can be damaged through moisture or heating from the sun or whatever. So twice every 7 years, if it's a mezuzah of a rabim, so then we're not machmir on a rabim. When a rabim, twice every 50 years, twice a day, yoiva, we ask that they should make sure that it's done. Because normally what happens is if you're matriach on a rabim, so then everybody insists that somebody else do it and it won't get done at all. So, okay, it's better to leave it like that. And now, v'omar Rabbi Yehuda, and this is why it's a sakana, that when there was a maaseh, ba'ar tavin echad. Now, what ar tavin echad means, it could mean someone from ar tavin, which is in Turkey, probably in Barnea's neighborhood. Rashi said, you can actually look up the weather report for Artavin today if you want to on Google. And the other approach is that Artavin comes from the word art, essentially, which is a reference to Umanut, and it means some kind of worker or some kind of professional. But anyway, so apparently that was his work. He was a Yabodek Mizuzot B'Shuk HaElyon Shel Tzipori, and his job was to go around checking mezuzahs. And a policeman arrested him. It cost him 1,000 zuz fine to get out of getting burned on the stake for practicing, dark magic over here. So, Mimela, something that you're going to need to be checking out that's going to get Jews in trouble. So because of that, they were not mechayev in the mezuzah. How could it be that such a thing took place if Amar Rabbi Elazar Shluchim Mitzvah Einu Nizokin, isn't this artivan, isn't he a shliach mitzvah? By the way, there's a very, very interesting note from the Zman of the Ga'anim that Artivan, actually, there was the Melech of Artivan, was a very good friend of Rebbe and Antoninus. And the three of them, and this would be if it's referring to that, so that if it was Beshuk Elyon Shel Tzipori, so it would mean that Rebbe would get together with this guy, and which didn't take place very often, because obviously he lived far away, because he really was the Melech in Artivan. But it's fascinating that this may actually be who it's referring to. So they want to bring a raya from here that maybe if it's the same guy, it must mean that he became Jewish. And because we're asking if it's Shulchan Mitzvah and so on. Mashman is a mitzvah. It was Yisrael Kosher. Anyway, V'amar Rabbi Elazar, Shulchan Mitzvah in Nizokim. So how could it be that such a thing took place that he had to pay a fine of 1,000 shekels? It's different. Because over here, it's considered to be Kviya Hezekah. Kviya Hezekah means that there's always danger involved. It's not like a far-fetched kind of thing. It's something that people are waiting to pounce on you. Over here, the anti-Semites are always waiting to pounce. So if they see a Jew doing something to the door, they'll say he's planting some kind of dark magic kind of thing over there, or God only knows what type of spying apparatus today they'll say he's putting in there. Anyway, it's not Kedai. So it's Kviya Hezekah. How do we know that Kviya Hezekah is different? Because of the most incredible pasuk, which we've spoken about before. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Shmuel that he should go and he should make David king, right? He should bring the oil and he should anoint him as king. And Shmuel insanely asks, how can I go? Shaul will hear about it and he'll kill me. I mean, you really don't think you can rely on God that if God tells you to do something, you know, he's not going to get you killed? What happened to Bitochen? I mean, what a chutzpah to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can you tell me to do this? What am I supposed to do? I'll get killed. That's crazy, isn't it? And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him? You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, don't worry, Shmuel, you can trust me. I'll make sure nothing bad will happen to you. So he says, I have a good idea. Take an eglat bakar and claim that you're going there to bring a korban. Can you imagine? So, I mean, this means that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to rely on Shulchan Mitzvah in Nizokin. So certainly you shouldn't. Okay, so if that's the case, in an event that checking a mezuzah or installing a mezuzah is going to be called down the wrath of the police on you, it's too dangerous and you don't do it. Tani Rav Kahane Kameh Rav Yehuda. And once we're talking about what we mean by a bayit, so this bayit, is this a bayit that means literally a place that you sleep in? Is it maybe just a garage? Would a garage of your house be a bayit if you keep your car there? Is it a bayit? So this is a big question. Comes along Rav Kahane and he says, take a look at the Braita. The Braita says, a beit ha-teven. So that's a garage where you would store animal feed, straw, or a beit ha-bakar where you have animals. Now, Tosfos is mechalek between a beit ha-bakar and a actually ravak where we have a real, we're going to see later on, a real barn where the animals stay permanently. So that's called a refet. And this is a bayit. There's a difference, as Tosfos, between a refet and a bayit. A refet is where the animals stay all the time. It's always filthy with animal droppings and so on. That's not what we're talking about over here. We're talking about a beit ha-bakar, which is a place where animals can be kept for a while and so on while you're shipping them or something, but it's not their permanent residence. Beit ha-itzim, a place where we would store wood. Beit ha-otzarot, and that beit ha-otzarot usually refers to yayin and shemen, things like that. We call an otzar. All of these things are peturim min ha-mezuzah. And now the strange reason why there are peturim min ha-mezuzah is because nashim ne'otot b'hem, because women use them. What do we mean use them? In what sense do they use them? Means that they are rochatzot b'hem. So remember, in those days, they didn't have like a kvias bathtub or anything in the house. You brought in a big tub and you put it in a room, filled it with water, and that was where you would take a bath. So the women would usually go to a mokum tsanua where people aren't going to be walking around. So they would go into the garage where, or which are either used for any of these things. So because of that, it's considered to be a place which is potter from the mezuzah. Okay, now it's not quite clear what is the issue over here, but we're going to see that a bias has to be a bias of kavod. It has to have a sense of dignity for the users. And a mokum that is used specifically where people are undressed is not called a place of kavod, one possibility. The other reason is that a mezuzah should not be in a place where people are exposed, which is what Rashi seems to be saying, according to which we would not even put a mezuzah in a bedroom unless there is a door that closes, that when the door closes, so then the mezuzah is on the outside of the door and is not exposed to people undressed. But the other issue of yours we'll see later on is the question of whether it's a dirty place. So is it a mokum saruach? This will discuss the difference between individual baths and public baths. Okay, but in any event, it says over here that the only reason that the Braisa is saying, this is what Rav Kahana is pointing out, that the Braisa is saying that your potter is because it's used for a bathtub. But if it wouldn't be for that, even though its primary use is storing things in it, so it's a garage for your car, you would be mechuyev to put a mezuzah on the garage because of the fact that that is called a home. A home doesn't have to be a place where you're literally living. It could be a room in which you're storing the things that you live with. Amarle Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says, but what you're saying is that time the rochatzot. The only reason that they're potter is because women are going to use it for a place of undress. Hastama. But if it wouldn't be for that, you would have said that you do require a mezuzah on the garage. But the problem is that there's another braita that I know of, and it says over there, refet bakar petura min mezuzah. So if you're using something to stable animals in, there is no chiv over here of a mezuzah at all. And as Tosis points out, since this is a refet, not a beta bakar, it is really not reasonable to suggest that a refet bakar is a place that women would take a bath, which is covered with dung on the floor, and so it's just not a place to bathe. If it's a beta bakar, I understand that that would be a place to bathe. So therefore, Taina's reviewed that this braita definitely says not like Rav Kahana, because it says that a stam refet is potter. Therefore, he says, I explain the braita differently. The way you explain the first braita, it says that the women bathe in it. And I say that the braita, what the braita meant was, mayna otot, they are mitkashtot, that adarabah, it's a very mechubad use. These little places in a garage, a woman will sometimes set up a dressing table for all of her lipsticks and things like that. And this will be her dressing room, meaning a dressing up room. So then what it's saying is just the opposite, that this is the place, achiketani, even though that's the point that the braita is making. The fact that hanashim mitkashtot behem does not make them chayev, even though they're mitkashtot, they are not considered to be a primary residence, despite the fact that they're used for spraying perfume and for making their shetels pretty or whatever, that does not make it a house. So don't think that just a garage for your car is not considered to be a house, even if the thing you like almost as much as your car, if your wife goes in there and she gets dressed up and so much, that's also not going to make any difference. It's not considered to be a chiyuv. So tremendous mina katzela katze difference over here of the various shitots. According to Rav Yehuda, there is no chiyuv even if you have the plus. Certainly no chiyuv on a stam place that's for storage. So a garage would not need it. And according to Rav Kahana, on the contrary, a garage would need it, minastam, and the only reason why it wouldn't is if it's used for inappropriate places for a mezuzah. Amar le Rav Kahana, so Rav Kahana says, I'll bring you another braita that will prove to you that I am correct, that amokam sha'anashim mitkashtot b'hem, you are claiming that that's butter? And that would mean where it could be kashtot. If you're going to learn the first brayta means neotot, then it would be potter. I'll show you beferish, it says in the brayta. Vatanya, refet bakar petura min hamezuzah. But a place where nashim are bitkashtot ba, I don't care even if it was a rekabakar, it would be chayevet b'mezuzah. So you see from here that the fact that nashim are bitkashtot are enough to be mechayev a makam, which would normally definitely be patur, minat stam, and you're telling me that it's not enough to be mechayev a garage. And over here it's enough to be mechayev a refet bakar. It's outrageous. Elamait lach lamemra, tell me, says Rav Kana to Rav Yehuda, how are you going to explain the words in a way that the brayos are not a contradiction? That obviously, if it's talking about mitkashtot, which is the way you understood the first brayos of neotot, there's no way out of this one, buddy. I mean, this is a machlokas tanoim, that's for sure. You're going to have to say. So you're going to learn that the two brayot, one of which says that mitkashtot are insufficient reason to be mechayev, and the other one says that even a refet bakar mitkashtot is sufficient reason to be mechayev, you're going to have to admit that that's a machlokas tanoim. So what's your problem? I hold that the stam is a machlokas tanoim. And it's exactly the same situation that you have between brisa 2 and 3, I have between brisa 1 and 2. Okay? So there's no problem. You brought me a brisa that says that stama is chayev in a garage? I agree. There's a Mandiyama, the author of this brayta, that owns the garage, is chayev. Okay. So we have basically, both of us have to admit that there's a machlokas tanoim. There's just different machlokas in, because it turns out we're both agreed that there's a machlokas. According to Rav Kahana, the original brayta that we opened up with says that a stam, meaning that it's not used for a woman to bathe, a garage does need a mezuzah. The second brayta says that you don't need to have mezuzah. But both of them would agree that if it's used for something that is inappropriate, like bathing, so then there's no chiyuv of a mezuzah. And both agree that if it's used for something choshev, like mitkashtot, that it does need a mezuzah. That's according to Rav Kahana. According to Rav Yehuda, not true. The first brayta is telling me that you're potter from a mezuzah on a garage, even if it's used for mitkashtot. And the last brayta is saying that in the end, that if it is used, in fact, for mitkashtot, so then it does have to have a mezuzah. That's the difference between us. But we are agreed that there's a machlokas tanoim. Now, it turns out that there's yet a fourth brayta, and this brayta, the way that we understand this brayta, is going to be dependent on the machlokas between Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda. So it says in the brayta, the Tanya, al mezuzot beitecha. What's the meaning of beitecha? It means beitecha hamiyuchad lecha. It has to be a house that is specifically meant for a human to utilize. Doesn't mean storage. And therefore, if a car lives in it, it's not called a house. It's called a garage. So this means prat. This brat is a ferish. Prat lebeta tevan, lebeta bakar, lebeta itzim, lebeta otzerot. All the things that we said before, which we're trying to figure out, here's the reason in the pasuk. They're potter from a mezuzah. Now, it's not clear whether we're talking about over here, mina stam, or with the mitkashtot. So this, we're going to have to explain now, according to the two approaches of Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda. But, continues the brayta, v'yesh mechayvin, some are actually mechayev, these cases. Be'emet amru, but you should know that we definitely hold that in a case where it's a beit hakisei, or it's a beit haburski, or it's a beit hamerchatz, or shanashim neotot ban, that for sure is patur min hamezuzah. So now we're talking about, all right, things that are clearly, I mean, a beit hakisei, a tannery, a bathhouse, a beit hatfilah, which is a makom to go to the mikvah, which as Rashi points out is not the same as a bathhouse, because a mikvah, if it's not a bathhouse, is not generally filthy. A bathhouse is filthy because over there you use hot water and steam and so on and so forth. People stay in there. And over here, we're talking about going into a mikveh for a moment and so on. That would not be considered to be dirty. So then why is it potter? Because people are undressed. Therefore, you don't put a mezuzah there. So there's two different issues over here. But in any event, we don't know what neotot b'hen means. They're pturim min hamezuzah. Now, this obviously is going to depend on whether you're going like Rav Kahana or you're going like Rav Yehuda. So Rav Kahana mitaretz the tam A and Rav Yehuda mitaretz the tam A. Rav Kahana is metarz this brisa according to his own svar. He says, look, Torah says Beitcha, this means Beit HaMiyuchad Lecha, excluding garages. I don't care what they're used for. Beit HaTeven, Beit HaBokar, Beit HaTzim, Beit HaTzorot. Those are Pturim Min HaMezuzah, just a normal garage, is Potter. That's Bistam. Now, Yesh Mechayvim means Yesh Mechayvim Bistam. Now, that is indeed the approach of Rav Kahana to the first two brises, that there is a sheet that all. That first brisa says that the only reason that you would not put a mezuzah on a garage is because women bring a bathtub in it. Okay, but that means that if women don't bring a bathtub, then it's chayiv, right? Okay, so those are those two sheetas. Continues the brisa, according to Rav Kahana, Be'emet Amru, Beit HaKisei, Beit HaBurski, Beit HaMerchatz, Beit HaTfilah, Shanashim Na'otot Pahen. And by the way, according to my explanation, what is the meaning of the word Na'otot in this context, says Rav Kahana? My Na'otot, Na'otot would mean bathtubs. So they're Rochatzot, that in that case, they are Peturim because it's not Mechubat, either because of the dirt or the nakedness or whatever. But wait. So what's the difference between the, if you're going to learn that the women bring a bathtub, why isn't that included in merchatz? You already said a merchatz is potter. Nah, come on, it's a big difference, obviously. Ashmina merchatz to rabbim. A merchatz is a public bathhouse, which is filthy. The ashmina merchatz is the yachid, a place where you bring in a bathtub. The sakra daitachamina, I might have thought a merchatz to rabbim, the nafish zuame, it's really filthy in a merchatz of a rabbim. I mean, that's not such a filthy place. So therefore, it's coming to tell me that not because of a problem of zuama, but because of a problem of lack of cover being there undressed. That's how I understand it, says Rav Kahana. Rav Yehuda says, well, let me tell you how I understand it. Let's go through the bright again like me. Al mizuzot betecha means betecha miuchad lecha. Prat lebeta teva beta boka beta etzim betzo bichar pturim min amizuzot. And when it says shanashim mitkashto, this is afilu mitkashto. These places are potter no matter if they have an additional use that a woman makes herself beautiful there, and it's also a dressing room. And then when it says yesh b'chayvim, it means on that case, yesh mechayvim b'mitkashtot, which is my shita. There is, in fact, the machlokas tanoim about whether if women make use of it as a dressing room, and that dressing means a dressing up room, not that they're undressed there. So some are mechayiv it because that makes it kosher. But stam, this price is saying like I hold. Nobody holds that a garage is chayiv. Divrei hakol patur. That's my approach. And be'emet amru, Beit HaKisei, Ubeit HaBursi, Beit HaMerchatz, there, Shanashim Mitkashtot Pahen, means that even if it would be used also, Shanashim Mitkashtot Pahen, so if you have a bathroom that is being used by a woman as also a dressing room, that does not make you put a mezuzah on a bathroom. Okay, so it's a very common situation. That's what it's talking about. And the reason that they are potter min mezuzah is because that is zuama. So those places, the fact that a woman will get dressed up in there is not enough to turn them into a mokum of kavod, obviously. So this would be two completely different approaches. According to Rav Yehuda, says the Gemara, you're telling me that no...
Isn't this a question on Rashi? Because it's saying on Beit HaTfila also, Zuama.
No, but it doesn't mean it according to him. It does. It's not going on all of them. It's saying that the idea over there would be either the nafish zuame or whatever other reason. That's how he understands. In other words, it's inappropriate because of filth or because of not nice. It's lav dafka. Okay, l'Rav Yehuda. So since according to Rav Yehuda, stoma divrei hakol poter, it's definitely not true. We know that there's yet a fifth brisa. Vatanya, take a look at this brisa. Al mizuzot betecho visharecha. What's visharecha? Echad sharei batim, echad sharei chatzeros, echad sharei medinas, echad sharei ayarot. Now dig this, okay? A refet, lulin, which are chicken coops, a matbein for straw, otzot yayin, otzot shemen. All of those things are chayavim mizuzah. Yochoshani Marbes, you might think I would include, if that's the case, even in the event that you have just a Beit Shaar, an Achsadra, Mirpeset, Talmud Lomar, Bayit, it has to be a Bayit that's Miyuchad Ladira, Yotzu Elo She'enu Miyuchadim Ladira. Tosfos asks the obvious question that we had, that Adarab and Mirpeset Achsadra is Chayev in a Mezuzah, so that there's a lot of differences that are offered by the various Rishonim. When would we say that they are Chayev? It depends whether it's open up directly into the house or whether it's talking about a place where the Rabbim just walk through. This becomes, by the way, the mocker of the psak legabi elevators, is this Gemara. Do you put a mezuzah on a large elevator that's arba al arba? So based on this, since it's a place where people are passing through, it's not considered to be shayach to beis diran, because of that you're putter on the elevator. Miikra did your putter on. There are some that put on an elevator. But, I mean, it's clear from the Gemara he wouldn't be chayiv here. Anyway, so you might think, if that's the case, so these are not miyuchadim ladira. You might think, says the Braita, that I would be marba achiev even on a Beit Akise, a Beit Aburske, a Beit Amerikas, and a Beit Atfilah. Would you say even that would be true? Therefore, Talmud Lomar, bayit. That's why it's talking over here, specifically a house, just like a house is a place where it's asui likavod. Afkola asui likavod. Yotzu elu she'en asui likavod. So this is the here we see the idea of, that's why I say to Barnea, that we're, is Barnea still here? He disappeared. No. So that's the point. That is, we're referring to a general sense of kavod, which sometimes has to do with zuama, sometimes has to do with the undress. And we go back and forth. But the limud is in terms of kavod. Yochal shani marbe af harabayit, lishakot, azarot. You might think that you should also put it into the Beis HaMikdash, tabelom rabayit. A bayit is a place where people live. It's not a place that is used for kedusha. So ma bayit is chol, af koshul chol. Yotzu elu shein kodesh. It appears that the shitas that we had at the beginning of the daf that said that they would put a mezuzah here, even on the Sha'orim of Shaniknar and the earlier Sugya that talked about the Lishkas Parhedrin, obviously does not agree with this, according to the way most Rishonim learn, that these people are clearly arguing with this diak over here of Yatsu Elu Shein Kadesh. Okay, but anyway, does it say over here that these Refet Bakars and so on, and the place for the Beit HaTeven needs a mezuzah? Yes. And according to Rav Yehuda, nobody held that, right? Rav Yehuda said nobody holds that stam is chayiv. Only if it's nashim mitkashtot, yesh b'chayivim b'mitkashtot. Here it says beferish, not like that. To yufta, that is it. To yufta, the Rav Yehuda, to yufta. So that would mean that indeed there is itzat to be mechayev according to this shita, which is how we pasken. And this is where the Shulchan Aruch brings it, that we actually, the moment that we put furniture into a place, even if it's not being used to live in, it's considered to be a Beit Dira. Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Kamedu Rav. Shisha Sha'arim Peturin Min HaMezuzah. Now, this does not mean only six. It means I'm going to be listing six. As Tosis points out, there's plenty of others. And the Shisha Sha'arim we refer to here is Beit HaTeven, Beit HaBakar, Beit HaItzim, Beit HaTzarot, and a Shar HaMadai. And we haven't discussed that yet. Shar HaMadai is a shar that they use in Madai. And it is a type of thing you see in the Old City, which is where the entrance was the entranceway that we had into our Beis HaMedrash, where it has a Korah on top. So it is actually a, what's the word for Korah in English? I forgot. Somebody tell me, please. It's a curve, but there's a word for an archway. Archway, thank you. Okay, so it's an archway. So an archway is Prater. And a shar she'ena mekorah, if you're walking through an entranceway that doesn't have anything on top of it, so there's no lintel at all, and a gate that isn't 10 tvachim high. Now, again, this is not meant to be, I mean, we skipped over a lot of things that we spoke about a minute ago, which was, you know, the shar of all of the cases that we had, the shar of the Beis HaTvila, and the shar of the Mirpeset, and the Beit Shar. I mean, so it's not meant to be a total list. But the problem is that somebody doesn't know how to count. So Rava says, Amarle patachta b'shisha. You said that there are six, Bobby, please mute. You said that there are six, and then you go ahead and you list seven. I mean, what's the meaning of that? So he said, so Shmuel Bar Yonah answered him, Amarle, because I didn't want to say that there are seven, since the question of Shaar Hamadi, that's a machlokas tanoim, which we've had many times. The Tanya, kippa, so where you have an archway, Rabbi Meir is mechayev in a mezuzah, and the Chachomi pater it from a mezuzah, so that's why I didn't want to say that there are seven, because according to Rabbi Meir, it would be chayev, so I didn't want to ignore the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Vishavin, but Rabbi Meir and the Chachomi would agree that if the sides have 10 tfachim of height before they start arching in and then get down to less than a breadth of four, as we'll see, that in that case they would be chayiv min azuzah, because then you can just ignore the fact that it has the arch and you just look at the wall on top, and then you have a perfectly normal opening. I mean, who cares if you put a little thing on the top of your door to make it look arched? But at that point, it's already been a door from the beginning. So because of that, I didn't want to say that it would be pot. Omer Abaye, let me just make this very clear, because it's a little bit misleading, this conversation. I mean, first of all, let's understand. The Kuli Alma, if it's Gavoa Asara in Toto, and it does not have even a place of three tvachim above the ground at the bottom, where there was a width of four tvachim, which is the minimum width of a doorway, it's completely meaningless. It has no relationship to an entranceway. Rabbi Meir would never have said in that case, you're chayiv, it's lav klumi. On the other hand, even if it would have bragla shlosha, but it would not have a total of asara tvachim, even from the top. So if I take a ruler, I measure from the very bottom to the top of the arch, I don't have 10 tvachim. Forget it. Even Rabbi Meir is boda lav klumi. It doesn't begin to be an entrance. The only machlokas is lo nechlaku ela begavua asara v'yesh baragla shlosha v'ein barogba arba v'yesh balachok lahashlimala arba. What we're talking about over here is a wall that has in it an archway, okay? And that archway has above it the continuing wall that continues to go up. So now the question is like this. If you hold like Rabbi Meir, remember Rabbi Meir's shita is chokakin lahashlim. Chokakin lahashlim is that once you have the basic shape, that at that point you can hollow out the rest of it and make it virtually wide enough. So there is where we have a machlokas. Let's start with our basic measurements. You do have 10 tvachim high from the bottom to the top of the arch. You do have 3 tvachim in height, that at that level of 3 tvachim, you have a breadth of 4 tvachim. However, you do not have 10 tvachim high, where between the two walls you have 4 tvachim. You only have 3 tvachim, or 4 tvachim, or 5 tvachim in height, where you have the full 4 tvachim required width. The thing is, though, that you do have the theoretical capability of hollowing out in the existent wall. You can hollow out the rest of the entrance so that it would be 4 tvachim at the height of 10 tvachim. It would be 4 tvachim in width. So this is Rabbi Meir's shita. Rabbi Meir savar chokakin lahashlim, and the Rabbanan savre ein chokakin lahashlim. Okay, that's the machlokas. Tana Rabbanan, beit ha-kneset, beit ha-isha, beit ha-shutafim, chayevet b'mezuzah. So if you have a shul, or a house that's owned by a woman, or a house that's owned by more than one person, it's chayev. Obviously, why would I have thought that it's butter? Pshita? No, because ma'odetema. Look, I would say, ba'al mezuzot be'techa is lashon masculine, right? So that's lashon zocha. So be'techa means below be'ta. Be'techa is lashon yachid. It's not a lashon rabim. So be'techa velo batehem. Therefore, comes along the brayta to tell me, no. But wait a minute. Why no? That sounds like a very good drasha. Ve'ema achinami, why isn't that true? Ah, because that's why the pasuk continues on to say l'man yirbu yimechem v'mei v'nechem. So this is coming to me a halacha l'man yirbu. anybody who needs life, okay? So if it's Laman Yirbu, we're obviously addressing anyone who needs to live. So you're telling me only men and people who can afford their own homes and don't have a shutaf, only these people need ribu yomi. But hani lo boichai, it's ridiculous. The point of the pasuk is to say that this is the great equalizer. We need to live. Okay, so then explain to me, why does it say beitecha? I mean, it could have just said, I'll mizuzot habayit. Ah, that comes to me a whole different halacha. That's coming to me like Rava. The Amar Rava, beitecha is meant to be read bi'atecha, meaning the way that you come into your house, not the way you're going out of your house. And it means the way that you would normally walk into your house. You're standing in front of the door, you put the key in the door, you open the door. Which foot do you move first? 95% of people move their right foot first. So v'chiyokar inishkar d'yamina akar b'resha, which means that on the right side of the entry of your house, that would be the place where you would be putting the mezuzah. And we have the same issue when it comes to today's inyan in Masechet Negaim. Because Tanya Idach, Beit HaKnesset, Beit HaShutafim, Beit HaIsha, are metami b'negaim. Says the Gemara, but Tami b'negaim, obviously. Why wouldn't they be? Ah, because Ma'ar d'tema, I might think, doesn't it say in the pasuk, Uba asher lo habayit? Lo habayit means it's a male's home, and it's an individual male's home, not a shutafut. So I would say, lo velo la, lo velo lahem. Comes along the bright to the tummy, no. Even asher lahem habayit. So wait a minute. That sounds like a good drasha there too. Why not accept the drasha? Because it says, bebeit eretz achuzatchem. There it says, any house at all. So then why does it say, ubo asher lo abayit? That's coming to tell me a whole new deal. That's coming to tell me, ubo asher lo abayit is to teach me, why do you get sarat in your bayit? It's because asher lo abayit. Meaning, he wants to keep everything for himself. So somebody comes in and say, can I borrow your lawnmower? Oh, I'd love to lend you a lawnmower. I wish I had a lawnmower. Well, how about a mixer? Oh, if only I could afford a mixer. Then all of a sudden he gets tzaras in his house, and now he's got to take out all of his kalim from the house, right? Because he's going to tear down the house. Now everybody says, you don't have a lawnmower. Well. Don't have a mixer, eh? So because of that, he doesn't want to be marshal, and he claims, Ein lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mefarsimos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows everybody. This guy's got everything. Kishe mefaned bito. Now he's got to clear out the house from everything. So this is asher lo habayit, prat l'mashil kelav l'acherim. But that means if he's a gentleman who lends out his things, he will not suffer tzarat habayit.